China works to explain why it's been messing with its currency. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Markets seemed calmer early this morning after China's central bank tried to explain its attitude toward the yuan, which it had worked to devalue on Monday. This morning, the vice chair of China's central bank said in Beijing, quote, trust the market, respect the market, fear the market, and follow the market, unquote, to suggest that supply and demand are determining what a yuan is worth. Market players have been focused on this all week. Let's turn to Adolfo Laurenti, chief international economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Morning, Adolfo.
Good morning.
So what do you think Chinese authorities are trying to do here with this statement today that when it comes to its currency, it's markets, markets, markets?
Clearly, the Chinese authorities are trying to send the message that this is a market-friendly reform. This is something the IMF had asked in the past, and they are giving a nod to that sort of pressure, saying, let the markets work here and let's see where the yuan is going.
All right, but I say this respectfully. Who are they kidding? They're manipulating the markets. They're managing the markets. They're intervening.
You are absolutely right. I think they are not kidding anybody. This decision came a couple of days after their data on exports disappointed. They are very worried about their domestic economy. Growth rate has not been as strong as they were hoping for several quarters now. Europe is not doing well. This is the traditional maneuver to devalue the currency and try to prop up the domestic industries. So despite the rhetoric, I think we need to be alert that the Chinese authorities still are very hands-on in managing their economy and their currency.
Adolfo Laurenti at Mesirow Financial, thank you for this.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Now, the PGA Championship telecast starts today from Sheboygan, Wisconsin. If you're watching on TNT this afternoon, here's something that you're going to see: aerial drone footage. You'll also be able to track players through homing beacons. So what's behind golf's high-tech game? Marketplace's Nova Safo takes a swing at this.
The good news for the PGA Championship is that last year, it got its highest TV ratings in 5 years, with almost 12 million viewers. The bad news is that almost twice as many 20 and 30-somethings do yoga as play golf. Jason Simmons teaches sports marketing at the University of Cincinnati.
With the decline in popularity in golf, both in terms of spectatorship and participation, PGA needs to do something to spice it up.
Simmons says that's one force driving golf's high-tech embrace. Major tournaments, including the PGA, are using live drone videos, beacons to keep track of players on the course, statistics measured with lasers.
Well, I think every sport sees that technology can make their product a lot better on television.
Victor Matheson teaches sports economics at the College of the Holy Cross. He says for about 15 years, golf was able to rely on major stars.
They had this guaranteed draw with Tiger Woods. Obviously, that's faded now, and it's not clear whether there's someone on the horizon.
Don't tell that to 21-year-old Jordan Spieth. He's favored to win this weekend. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
No known connection, but I just realized my dad turns 81 today, the day before the Social Security system turns 80 tomorrow. 166 million of us paid in last year. 59 million were paid Social Security benefits of one type or another. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell is here to mark the anniversary. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Who is celebrating this anniversary? I mean, not everyone believes Social Security is going to be around for them. I sometimes have trouble persuading my own kids.
I'm celebrating. And my 90-year-old mother, she is celebrating the 80th birthday of Social Security. But I know what you're talking about, David. Gallup, the pollster. So in 2010, they did this survey of non-retired adults. Do you think Social Security will be able to pay you benefits and retire? And 60% said no. And that's up from 41% a decade earlier. But here's the thing. Social Security is not in a crisis, and Social Security is the most successful piece of legislation in terms of the social safety net for the United States in modern history.
But Chris, there is a funding gap, is there not?
Well, there is a funding gap. You're right. Now, let's put in a little bit of context. So when you get down to 2034, you know, that's when Social Security system exhausts its reserves, and that's not exactly reassuring news. Now, the system will still have enough revenue to pay about three quarters of promised benefits, but we don't want to get to that position, and it's not a desirable outcome. But again, this is not a doomsday scenario. So there's a lot of things that we can do to shore up Social Security. I would do them earlier rather than later. And can I give you just one idea of why I just can't get all panic-stricken about it?
All right, because, you know, some of us are focused on the fact that if someone getting out of college this year would be only 41 years old when Social Security exhausts its reserves. So what's the suggestion then?
All right, so I'm going to take my suggestion from Alicia Minnell. She's head of the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. She says, look, let's just raise the payroll tax rate by one percentage point on employees and employers, and then we raise the cap, you know, in terms of your taxable earnings base that goes into the Social Security, to $230,000. You do that, you eliminate the problem for the next 75 years.
Which will look and feel like a tax increase, especially for upper-income taxpayers. I'm not missing that wrinkle. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell, thank you. And speaking of anniversaries, Star Trek is turning 50. To celebrate that one, there's word that Captain Kirk/William Shatner will host the first official Star Trek cruise. Not in space, but on the high seas. Not the Enterprise, but the Norwegian Pearl out of Miami, where man has gone before. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.